This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Nico Ryans was asked yesterday at the Combine in his media session on what the evaluation and drafting of C.J. Stroud, the role the Combine played in evaluating and drafting C.J. Stroud, that whole process back in 2023. Here's what the Texans head coach had to say.
For me, taking over this franchise, I know, right, every team that's here, right? If you want to win games and you want to be, if you want to have a run deep in the playoffs, you have to have a quarterback to do that, right? And that was the main focus for us. So it was easy in the evaluation process of getting CJ, just seeing his talent, seeing the type of guy that he was, like ultimate competitor, true leader. His teammates loved him, like he cared about his teammates. And that's what stuck out for me, is the type, not only getting a quarterback, but getting a guy who the locker room can get behind. Guys that they feel his passion, they feel his love for the game. He's competitive. He has the leadership and drive to be great. And that's what led us to getting CJ. And CJ's done an outstanding job for us these past 2 years.
I wonder how much things like the combine and in the 30 visits, and really just throughout the whole evaluation process for the draft, having the quarterback in place already frees you up. We know that a quarterback is disproportionately important as an individual to a football team than other players are.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. Is the evaluation disproportionate as well? Like the time spent, the energy spent on it, vetting
almost,
of it.
It's one of those things almost, it's like anything that causes stress in your life. It's almost impossible to quantify how much energy it takes because it permeates everything else.
Yeah.
And it's hard to focus. It's hard to concentrate.
Right.
It's hard to make the right decisions. One of the old sayings in football is that need is a horrible judge of character, or judge of evaluator. Need is a horrible evaluator. As soon as you really need something or want something, it just everything gets skewed. And it does. It affects all of your other decisions.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if relaxing is the right word, but it removes a lot of the stress.
I mean, the teams that are operating this week with the quarterback already in place are probably able to do things so much more freely, and especially the teams that are at the top of the draft who are trying to determine whether or not to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's one thing, like the Texans were in a draft where it was pretty obvious they needed to take a quarterback. But I can't imagine being like the Titans and the Browns and things like that. You've got this whole evaluation. You're evaluating guys that might be the face of your franchise with that pick.
Yeah.
But then you're evaluating guys who might just be good football players with you for that pick. It's a strange spot to be in.
The downside of choosing the wrong quarterback is just so big because it almost – it's also – it just – unless you've got an incredibly good defense, you pick the wrong quarterback, and all of a sudden, all the other money you're spending is wasted money. Like you're just
why are we spending money on running backs to win four games?
Right. Yeah, like you're buying birthday candles for a cake that doesn't exist or something. Yeah. It just doesn't. So it's nice to have that, and I don't think there's anybody that has any doubts about CJ's potential in the long term. Now it is all very much about now. The pressure is all right. Look, we got the right guy. Don't screw this up.
Yep.
The Colts have been in the team that have had everything right except for the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they might as well have just not spent two-thirds of their payroll over the course of the last decade.
Like the last 7 years on fire.
Yeah, because they can't find the right quarterback.
That's right.
They've done a lot of things really, really well, but they're really dumb when it comes to finding quarterbacks.
Yeah. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the evaluation and drafting last year of Kamari Lassiter.
Going back and thinking about Kamari and Kalen, when I think about both of those guys, what stuck out to me about Kamari was what his teammates said about him last year, this being here at the combine, like his attention to detail, his intensity and walkthroughs, just his mindset and how he loves football, that stood out to me. And that definitely came true throughout the season, watching Kamari play, watching how physical he was, watching the plays he made, watching how locked in he was each and every snap. Kamari felt like a pro the day he stepped into our building, and he's been a true pro all throughout his first year, still with a lot of improvements ahead of him, but love picking him up, and he's been a great addition to our team.
I think the two things about Kamari and then CJ, who D'Amico talked about earlier, the one thing he mentioned with CJ was how much his teammates loved him at Ohio State, and I think that's one of those things when you're evaluating the character of a guy. Look, lots of guys can do a pretty good job faking it in a 15-minute meeting. When you talk to teammates, when you talk to coaches, when you talk to equipment staff members of a guy's college, you start to get a real good feel for, all right, what are people actually saying about this guy? Yeah. Do I have to read between the lines, or do they just genuinely love this guy? I think with CJ, it was pretty apparent. I think with Kamari Lassiter, it's the same thing where, for one, he wanted to sit out of his bowl game because he got advice that that's what he should do, that was the smart thing to do because you're about to make a bunch of money as a pro, and he couldn't help himself. He just had to play. He couldn't abandon those guys. Yeah. And when the way Kirby Smart talks about him, and I'm guessing other guys talked about Kamari Lassiter, it's the meeting with those guys is almost probably just a stamp of confirmation on everything else they've heard. But I think that D'Amico does a really good job of, and I think he's doing an increasingly good job of being on the same page with Nick with, like, what does football character look like?
Yeah.
It's not, football character is different than Eagle Scout stuff. It's different than just showing up on time and working hard in the weight room. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I think those two are starting to get a good feel for what they actually want and the type of guy.
Hey, Ben, let's skip down. Let's get to the some of the things that D'Amico had to say about the offensive line. This is D'Amico Ryans talking about the goal needs to be to protect C.J. Stroud better.
Yeah, getting better protection for C.J. is definitely a main thing, main point of emphasis for us. Right? We know, when C.J. is protected, he has a clean pocket. Right? He's a pretty good quarterback. And I constantly show guys clips in our meeting after a game of plays when we protect well and we have a good pocket. I'll show guys explosive, outstanding throws CJ is able to make in the middle of the field, along the sideline. Like, he's capable of making any throw on the football field, but it's just a matter of protecting him and giving him that comfort when he's in the pocket. When we do that, we can move the ball, we can make plays. So that is a point of emphasis for us of making sure he is protected better.
I like I know he doesn't present it this way, but I do like the idea of just like him showing them those shots of CJ and being like, you guys are squandering this.
Yeah.
You guys are squandering a national treasure.
If you could protect him for maybe like 8 more of these a game.
This is like I'm yelling at a child, my teenage boy, because he wants to have a gun, but he won't clean his gun. Clean that gun.
Yeah.
Got you a nice gun.
Yes.
And you're sitting there, you're letting CJ rust out in the rain.
Yep.
I'm supposed to trust you with my weapons?
A lot of these answers, and especially yesterday, like D'Amico was very I thought poignant in his thoughts on the offensive line. Like, he was asked about, what are you looking for in offensive line? He said, we need guys who can protect. Like, protecting CJ has become a big thing, as it should have been back in week 7, 8, and 9 when they were kind of whistling past the graveyard a little bit. Well, it's fixable, and it's, you know.
We'll let Kenyon Green. Let's give him one more shot in the Jets game to see if Kenyon can start.
It's almost like D'Amico and the staff are finally, like, seeing what we were all seeing.
Hey,
like,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, like, did you guys notice CJ's getting hit a lot?
CJ's getting his ass kicked. Yeah. Now, this was interesting yesterday.
Hey, tell me if I'm crazy here.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm crazy, but just it feels like CJ's gotten hit a lot this year. Am I crazy?
Am I nuts? Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This was interesting. I listened to this yesterday. This was the first segment of The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. And I want you to take a listen to what Clint had to say about how the team is handling C.J. Stroud. And you, Seth, and you, the audience, and I'm curious if people agree with Clint's assessment of how he's being handled and how he needs to be handled moving forward.
Is it coddling, or is it this is the way that quarterbacks are handled in this day and age?
To me, it's less about D'Amico or Nick or anybody in particular, like in one particular instance, coddling C.J. Stroud. I just think for me, it's at a point where, like, man, look, it's time for C.J. to become a big boy and be treated like a big boy and take this team, this bull by the horns, and let's move on. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of, and yeah, I think coddling is a perfect word for what has gone on with C.J. Stroud. And look, I think there's some of that when you're young is necessary. I've said before, I'm on record, I love the way that D'Amico immediately gave him the job. Didn't I know they had some little competition with him and Davis Mills or whatever for a couple of weeks. I didn't like that. But I love the fact that D'Amico put his arm around him and stands him up right there in a team huddle and calls him up after the game and has him and is establishing this is our guy, this is our league. I love all that stuff. But at some point in time, you know, it's gotta be, hey, the O-line struggled. Hey, we had some problems at the receiver position. Hey, our quarterback didn't play well at times.
We don't like that.
Don't feel like you get that.
Hey, you know what? We gotta play a little cleaner. We gotta get the football out. We gotta do some things to help ourselves as well, you know? So I don't know. I just it's less about what somebody says or didn't say and and more about, hey, it's time. It's time. At some point, you graduate to, hey, I'm that dude. Give me control of the offense. Let me run the damn show. If I play poorly, get up there and say I play poorly. If I play great, they don't need to say anything. Let's keep it moving. The next step, folks, is for C.J. Stroud to be that calming force when somebody gets injured so you don't waste a series, so you don't have two delay of games in a drive, right? That's the next step for him. Or if you want to look at it from a season standpoint, when the mess hits the fan and the O-line can't protect the quarterback, maybe you and the O.C. ain't seeing eye to eye and there's some frustration, whatever, right? In those moments, somebody on the offensive side of the football has to be the rock.
Okay.
I guess,
and I think a little bit what he was referring to at the end, and I listened to the whole segment.
Yeah,
the optics of how CJ handled the Tank Dell injury big into Clint's assessment.
Right,
of all this.
No, and I guess that's where I wonder though too, because I mean, coddled is kind of a loaded phrase. It's kind of like calling somebody soft on defense or something. I'm trying to think about how they should have handled or could handle CJ differently, especially because I don't like CJ's not like a Kyler Murray or some other young quarterback where there's questions about how hard he's going to work or how much he cares or how willing he is to commit. He's certainly not. Like, Johnny Manziel would be the worst-case example of a guy that just flat-out didn't put any time in. Like, CJ's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if – I guess I don't – like, it's a does it need to be that CJ needs to get called out in a press conference or something? Because they don't typically
– they don't do that.
Yeah, no, like, and I played – look, I played for Tom Coughlin, who was the toughest dude I've ever – played for and in my entire life in any sport. He had a very firm policy about not criticizing his own players in press conferences. He just didn't do it. Nobody accused of him of not being tough. So like I don't know exactly like where I see necessarily they've mollycoddled CJ Stroud, because what are you supposed to do, bench him? Is that, I mean, was there an instance this year where it was going to be better to put Davis Mills in? I don't know.
Right, well, and I
agree with what Clint's saying is there's a certain level of stoicism CJ needs to have in situations like with Tank Dell. I agree with that. But that's more of a CJ Stroud thing, more so than was D'Amico supposed to go over to him on the sideline and start shaking CJ?
Yeah.
And give him the slap like
you're
in the old movies?
You're supposed to be consoling
out of it.
Everybody else. I think it's part and parcel of just how D'Amico handles things in general.
Yeah.
Publicly, because most of what Clint was talking about in those 2 minutes are things that were said publicly about CJ, and CJ needed to take the bull by the horns, and maybe if CJ played poorly, they need to say he played poorly. I think D'Amico has some Coughlin in him from that standpoint that he's not going to throw guys under the bus publicly. I think it's hard for us to say whether or not he or anybody is being coddled, because we're not sitting in the meeting rooms inside the building.
Yeah,
D'Amico can be a very different person, and we've heard that he's a very different person.
Well, no, and I mean.
The building
people,
than he is at press conferences.
People tell you around the league that who runs the toughest training camps in the NFL? It's Andy Reid. Is Andy Reid a big, you know, does Andy Reid strike you as a guy that's such a old school, hard-edged coach or whatever?
No,
he sets really high standards and he holds guys to it. And he does it in his own style, but he's not an easy coach to play for.
Yeah.
He looks big and cuddly and he makes funny noises on insurance commercials, but he's a hard guy to play for. So,
I'm a risky dude.
So it's tough, and I'm not discounting, because I think I partly agree with Clint, but it's also that he is still a young quarterback on a team that had a bad offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he got his ass kicked and a bad offensive line.
There were so many things going on that offense that were just fundamentally systemically wrong. And starting with the offensive line and the way that they were handling certain situations and the way it just – none of it made sense. And I think a lot of it, just by virtue of the way they handled the coaching staff in the offseason, I do think – and I think some people are skeptical over this or they're criticizing the Texans for saying, oh, it was all Bobby Slowick. Yeah, I've been on teams that had really bad coordinators that needed to go.
Yeah.
That needed to go because they did not know what they were doing. They sucked. I told you the story about that defensive coordinator from the past. I won't say his name because he's passed away. He was the worst defensive coordinator I've had on any level of football. He made everybody, including the assistant coaches, worse because he was a bad coordinator.
Yeah.
He needed to go.
Yeah.
And then, no, and I'm not even talking about Richard Smith. I'll say his name. He was a horrible defensive coordinator
as well. Did Richard Smith die?
No, I was talking about another one. I forgot. Well, I don't think Richard Smith was as bad as the other guy.
Yeah.
Richard Smith was the second worst.
Yeah.
And like, there's Richard Smith was such a bad defensive coordinator that none of the defensive backs even knew exactly what their rules were in any given week. They didn't know.
That's bad.
You look at them and they come out of the meetings and their eyes are like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do this week. So like, yeah, sometimes the coordinator is that big of a deal.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday here. We are just a few hours away from heading out to the ballpark for a little Astros Nationals action. Keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long. Seth and I will be checking in on the midday and afternoon shows. And also keep it tuned to our social media on Instagram, especially. Follow our journey through Astros spring training here this week. We're having a great time down here in West Palm Beach catching some ball. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us here. Four players have been granted permission to seek trades. Should the Texans be picking up the phone when the agents of any of these four players call? We'll run this through the Seth Payne filter coming up next.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.